You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good morning, 11 a.m. service. We're going to go right straight to our second and last installment of our current series called Metro. This series is all about reaching the nations. It is our mission series. If you've been with us for the longest time, then you know that once a year, we take time to basically talk about missions, to talk about reaching the nations of the world. When you say world missions, it means bringing the gospel to other nations and cultures who have not heard of it. So as long as there's a group of people out there, there's a country, there's a nation out there who has not heard of Jesus and the gospel, then we need to go out there and bring the gospel to them. And it's all because in Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus himself says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." He didn't just say, "Go and gather amongst yourself and bahala ng ubang nations diyan." No, he says, "Go out there, disciple the nations." That's why we saw that video a while ago with our church in Nepal. That happened because we went to the nations and started a church there. And there are other instances of that as well. Now for this series, when we talk about reaching the nations, we are doing so in the context of reaching the cities. Because you can go about through many ways in how you can reach a nation. In this series, we're all about reaching the cities, the importance of reaching and discipling the cities. Cities like here in Dumaguete, or a big one like in New York, in Tokyo, in London ba, as long as it's a key, important city. In the first week, we talked about why we need to reach the city. And for our second week, we're going to talk about the eternal home. And we're going to get to that in a while, why we call it the eternal home. Now, last week, just a quick recap, we've learned three important reasons why we need to reach the cities. Firstly, it is a place of refuge, meaning people flock and go to the cities because they have different needs. For some, it is work. They need to go to the city to find work, to find a job so they can provide for themselves and their families. For some, it's a place for education. They go to a certain city to study naman, to earn a degree. For others, they go to the city for medical needs nila ba. Different reasons, the point is, a city is a place of refuge. Next, a city is a thermostat. Whatever the culture or values of a city are, it will affect the rest of the nation. If a certain city values this certain thing, maka-affect na, mukatay na siya, ma-affect as other places sa nation. So that's why we need to reach the cities. They don't just export their goods, their physical products, but they also export their culture and their values. And last but not the least, it is a strategic harvest field. If you want to reach a multitude of people, look no further than the cities. For therein, it's a gathering basically of hundreds, if not thousands, or in some cases, millions of people in one location, in one city. There's all reasons for that. Now for this week naman, we're going to tackle three important questions for us. And later I'm going to show the verse that we're going to be looking on. We're going to tackle three important questions. That is, if on first week, we need to reach the cities because it is this important, this week we'll answer three important questions. Namely, what happens when we reach the cities, the people in the cities rather? Second, what happens when we fail to reach the people in those cities? Thirdly, and finally, how are we reaching the cities now? So again, this will be a brief encouragement and a reminder or a vision cast for us why we need to keep reaching the cities. And for that, can you read your Bibles to Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 10. I'm going to use this as a starting point as we talk about reaching the cities. It says here in verse 8 of Hebrews 11, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." So I'm going to go straight to Hebrews 11, verse 10. Again, this starts with Abraham. The book of Hebrews is basically, there's this one chapter called the Hall of Faith, wherein people who exemplified faith are mentioned. And of course, one of those is Abraham. And in verse 8 to 10, we get this description when he was called by God to go to a certain place. And he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know exactly where that was. Wala pang Waze that time. Wala pang Google Earth that time. He didn't know where. God just told them, go to this place. And he obeyed. And in verse 10, we get this interesting verse where it says, "For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God." He was looking forward to a certain city. But first, maybe it's that city that, or it's that place that he settled in. But the place he settled in was simply a foreign land wherein he settled in tents. It was not the city described that it's built or designed by God. Kamo ng foundations niya. That's what verse 10 talked about. In other words, Abraham was looking forward to something in the future. It was a certain city as well that was not on earth yet. He was looking forward to something that would go beyond his lifetime. And for us to know what this city is, we need to go all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation 21, when the Apostle John had a vision of what would happen at the end of the age. If you remember, when we had our series last time about called Here and Now, when we talk about the kingdom of God, we came to understand that the kingdom of God would come to its full fruition at the end of the age. It would be fully complete at the end of the age. And the Apostle John saw something in Revelation 21, verse 1 to 4, that talks about a certain city. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So in other words, at the end of the age, there's this holy city, this new Jerusalem. God would remake everything when Jesus came back on his second coming, when he would right every wrong, when he would deal with evil completely, when he would deal with sinners. All of this is happening. There is this new Jerusalem at the end of the age. And the Apostle John continues to describe about this new Jerusalem. He says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. And verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. In other words, in this new Jerusalem, very interestingly, there will be, firstly, we will be with God. Yes, we are with God now. I mean, he's omnipresent naman. But we will be with God in a whole different level. When he would remake everything, we will be with him. We'll be with his people, with his church, for all eternity. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. But not just that, there will be no tears, no pain, no suffering. He will wipe away every tear. And guess what? There will be no death. At the end of the age, when everything would be perfect, all of these things will happen. And it seems like a very amazing city, amazing place to be. Parang you would want to be there. How many of you would want to be in a place where there's no more pain, no more suffering? Justice has been met. Every right has been made wrong. We will be with God 24/7, enjoying his presence and his company. That's the new Jerusalem, the new city. And if you were to ask, who can be part of this city? How can we know that we can be a part of that? We get to enjoy with God for all of eternity. And in verse 7, we get this verse that tells us who can be, who can have it. It says here, the one who conquers will have this heritage. And I will be his God and he will be my son or daughter if you're a woman. That word there, conquers, you might think, conquer, diba? Conquer when you take over a place. Conquerors before in history, they would conquer, they would oppress people. Muay pasabutan, is that what conquering here means? But actually, by no means. The word conquer here simply describes or means to hold fast to your faith, to endure, to persevere on your faith, even unto death against the power of your foes, temptations, and persecutions. In other words, the one who conquers is the one who endures persecution, hardship, was able to resist temptation, was able to hold on to his faith. That's what a person who conquers is. In other words, someone who has walked with God, who has walked with God consistently, was walking in righteousness, he will have this as his heritage. He will be in the new Jerusalem with God where there's no pain, no suffering, when everything is perfect. That's what being a conqueror is. God's salvation story ends in a city, this new Jerusalem. And this is the heaven that is the eternal destiny of all believers. It's important for us to know that because this is basically the last stop of our journey that started when we received Christ, when we realized that we have been saved by Jesus, and we started walking with him, and then we will physically die one day. At the end of the age, we will be with him for all eternity in that new Jerusalem. You see, when we reach out to a group of people in the cities, or even outside the cities, when we reach out to people, when we preach the gospel to them, when we disciple them, when you do your victory groups one-to-ones, you're not just bringing them to a church building. Their journey doesn't end there. It doesn't just stop there. But it is, again, it is at that city, that New Jerusalem. God's salvation story ends there. So when you go to your campuses, to your workplaces, your communities, and you want to reach out to someone, think of it this way. Souls are being saved. What is at stake are the souls of people. You're not just increasing a church attendance. You're not just bringing someone to church. You're effectively being part of God's salvation plan for that person so that he or she can be in that city at the end of the age, in that New Jerusalem. That's the final stop right there. Not just attending a church service, but by all means, attend a church service. It is important. We are just pilgrims here on earth because our true home is the city in heaven whose architect and builder is God. This is not our final home. That is why the Bible says, seek first His kingdom. Do not pursue the things of this world. That is why we are not of the world. We are in the world, but we do not belong to the world. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first His kingdom. This is not our permanent home. We are not home yet. That's why our installment is called our eternal home. We will be in that eternal home. So to answer our first question, what happens when we reach the people in the cities? The answer is they will become part of God's kingdom. They will be in that New Jerusalem at the end of the age. They will be saved. But the second question is, what happens when we fail to reach the people in the cities naman? What about those who have not heard of the gospel, who have not walked with God, who are not conquerors? What about them? What will happen to them ba? Verse 8 tells us of Revelation 21, verse 8 tells us, but as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, basically anyone who's not walking with God, who's not conquerors in Christ, says here, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. In other words, we're talking about here eternal separation from the love of God. There will be in a place for all eternity wherein they will experience God, holy, righteous wrath and judgment because of their sins. In other words, they will not get to partake in the New Jerusalem wherein it's perfect. There's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no death. But rather, they will experience that second death, be in hell, experiencing His divine wrath for all eternity. Walang stop, not 100 years, not 500 years, but for all eternity. And I know it's a hard truth to swallow when you read that verse, but that's truth right there. That when someone is not saved, when someone has not heard the gospel, has not believed in the gospel, no matter how good that person may seem, no matter how many church services he's attended in his life, perfect attendance, no matter how many millions that person spends for the poor, for the sick, no matter how kind and patient he is, no matter how generous he is, and even if he's the best person in the world, it doesn't matter. This is his fate, basically. In other words, there are eternal consequences when we fail to reach the people in the cities. Kaya we need to reach the cities. We need to reach the people, meaning we need to be willing to experience discomfort. We need to be willing to experience rejection. When you invite someone to your victory group for one-to-one, when you want to preach the gospel to someone, we need to be willing to embrace an awkward moment of rejection or whatever, because souls are at stake. When you preach the gospel to someone, it's not just a speech. You're not just sharing something that's not important. It is of importance. It is the good news. It's a transforming, saving power of God. The gospel, it has to be heard by people. We need to reach the cities, our campuses, our workplaces, our communities, our own families. With that being said, how are we reaching the cities now? I've talked about last week na individually, we can do a lot of things. One, we can pray. We can pray for our city. Pray for blessings. Pray for good things to happen. Pray for opportunities for more people to be discipled, to hear the gospel. Pray for your city. Serve your city. Disciple your city. Actively preach the gospel and start discipleship wherever you are. But I'm going to share in a while the overarching, in the macro level naman, the plan of Every Nation Ministries to basically, again, to reach out more cities in the nations of the world. So let me just give a quick picture of that. Firstly, let me show you where we are right now in terms of our world missions. So Every Nation Ministries. Firstly, we are in 18 nations worldwide. So we have an Every Nation Church, meaning Victory is part of that, in 18 nations worldwide. And we have 188 long-term cross-cultural Filipino missionaries to 45 nations. In other words, 45 of those 80 nations, we have a Filipino cross-cultural missionary. And not just that, we are two nations away from reaching all of Asia. I don't mean every person in Asia has heard of gospel. My point is, we are two nations away. Dua ka nation na lang, ang kulang na wala pa Every Nation Church. So you can imagine that, two nations na lang, and we will have a church in every nation in Asia. Now with that being said, because two nations na lang kulang sa Asia, we will be shifting to a new mission strategy for Asia. And that is to plant local and apostolic churches in strategic cities in Asia. Now, what do I mean by those big words right there? Kanang gina-highlight na ako. Firstly, local. We will plant churches that's cross-cultural, not Filipino or international. Meaning, for example, if we have an existing church, then we will empower the local churches there, or Every Nation churches there, to plant the churches. Meaning, the new churches in those cities will not come from the Philippines. They will not be spearheaded by Filipino missionaries, but they will be done by local people. So we are believing for more local cross-cultural churches to happen. Secondly, apostolic, meaning church planting, self-multiplying churches. When they plant a church, it would multiply and plant more churches as well. Strategic cities, we will plant churches in key cities. We will prioritize, we'll focus on certain cities. And they are either an educational, cultural, commercial, or political hub. Meaning it is a city of importance. And this is by no means on some new strategy. In fact, if you go to the Bible, the Apostle Paul, he would go to certain cities like Jerusalem or Antioch. And from there, he'll be able to plant another church naman. Like in this case, Antioch, he went to Antioch. And he planted a church in Pisidian Antioch and Ephesus. And then in Thessalonica naman. So the biblical pattern is there. You go to a city. If you want to reach a region, if you want to reach a nation, you have to go to their key cities. And from there, you would plant another church in another city naman. Or in another location of the same city. Kung takot yung kaayawang city. And to give you a picture of some of those cities that we're believing for, this is just a small slice of what we're believing for in East Asia alone. We are believing for these cities right here in these nations. Perhaps you know friends or loved ones in these cities, like for example in Japan, in Osaka, Nawasaki, Nagoya, Kyoto. We're believing to plant churches there. So pray with us for this because yes, it looks like a big thing, parang big work. You need people to go there. But if you want to plant a church, you need teams of people. You need missionaries to go there. And indeed, we need workers to go there. So pray with us on this. I'm sharing these things to you so you can rally with us on this. Pray with us. Believe with us for this that there will be churches planted in these nations. And again, it's not just these nations. Those churches will in turn plant churches that will reach every city and campus in its region. By planting more churches, we are enabling the gospel to spread in more campuses, more workplaces, more communities in that nation. That is why our focus now in those nations is to plant churches for the cities. It's kind of like our situation in the Philippines. How did we grow our church in the Philippines? By planting the different cities. Victory started in Manila when a group of missionaries, again, came here to the Philippines, did missionaries work, and then planted the church. It started with the university belt, but from there it has spread. Not just in Metro Manila, but throughout the provinces. One of those church plants is here in Dumaguete City. But some of you would believe, or believing one day, mga Victory Tanhaita, mga Victory Baez, Victory Bayawan, Victory Sikihor. In those key cities, we would believe for more church plants to reach out more people. Because for some people, they would need to travel 2 hours, 3 hours to get to a church. That's why we need to believe for more people to answer the call of God to plant those churches in those key cities. So believe with us on this. So again, what can you do to be a part of this? It seems like this massive macro level work of planting churches, but this will involve all of us as well. What can we do? Firstly, pray. Pray about it. Again, we can all pray naman. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for open doors that they will be allowed to start a church there. Pray for safety and protection because not all nations can you safely start a church. In some nations, you will be imprisoned or worse, you can be killed. So pray for the safety and protection of our missionaries. And again, the open doors. Pray for more people to answer the call. You saw all those lists of cities. We need a lot of people to answer the call to plant those churches. Nextly, go. Maybe not now, but maybe down the line, years from now, maybe God will call you to go to these nations, to be part of the church planting efforts there or missionaries work there. Maybe you'll be part of our 10-day teams. One day, you'll become one of our cross-cultural missionaries one day. Who knows? Perhaps God is impressing you right now that one day, you will go to the nations and disciple the nations. Do not shrug off or ignore what God is impressing your heart. You may not go as a missionary, but who knows? One day, God will call you to work there in the nations, to live there, to settle down there. And since you're there, since we are called to disciple the nations, then wherever we will go, then we are bringing with us the gospel as well. So if God calls you to go, to move, to relocate, by all means, go and bring with you the gospel. Because people need to hear the gospel. And last but not the least, what else can we do? For this, to give, to support. We might not all have the time or ability, or we will not all be called to go to the nations of the world, to physically be there, to preach the gospel, to do missionary work, or to immigrate or live there. But what we can all do, just like praying, is to give, to show support to those who will be there, to partner with those doing the ministry work there. And that's what being a ministry partner is. When you partner financially, when you support financially with someone, you enable that missionary to go there, to plant the church there. So if you're here today and you want to help out, you want to be a blessing to the nations, one thing you can do is to give. The other nations of the world may not know that you were part of the group of people who made it possible for a church to be planted in their nation or in their city, but God knows. Not everyone might know, part kas testimony pala, why this certain church was made possible, why this missionary made it possible for him to go to this place, but God knows. God sees your heart, your generosity, and your compassion for the nations.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.